Okay, would you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Most songs, novels, movies have been written and made about love than any other topics. Am I correct? It has inspired the world's best and worst poetry and has set on fire and broken countless hearts throughout the human history. However, the majority of their idea of love pretty much stop at the emotional level or below waist level. In other words, their idea of love is nothing more than temporary. And you may say, well, what do you mean temporary? Emotion only lasts so long. It does not last forever. And your idea of lovey-dovey, wee-wee thing will not last forever unless you are committed. And a lot of times their idea of love is nothing more than sex, pursuing sex. Some of you guys will know an actor named Don Johnson. Any of you guys know him? He's famous in the TV series Miami Vice. Also, he's famous being a womanizer. He boasted and bragged that he had a sex with a woman or girl, whoever it was, and when he was 14. He said, "It's all whether it's with a man, with a woman, it's all love." Let me rephrase that. It's lust. His idea of a love is a lust. There's a tremendous difference between love and lust. Yet, to learn the true definition of love, we must turn to the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, provides the world the most beautiful and more precisely accurate definition of love. And though this chapter, we might get to see the love of God for us in His terms, not our own individual definition of love, which comes very short of God's. Paul starts his message of love from the end of the chapter 12. Let's go to chapter 12 and verse 31. "But earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way." What is that way? That's a love. Love, you guys know that there's two commandments from Jesus. He said, he was asked, what is the most important commandment? Jesus answered, you guys know this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul, right? And then he gave an extra gravy. Love what? Your neighbor as yourself. If we follow those two commandments, we don't need all the other laws that the U.S. Congress create, because we will do what is right in the sight of God. Amen? But we don't. That's the problem. So those two commandments, when you boil it down to the one word, is love. It has nothing to do with the we love. It's a defined, clear-cut love that God provides. The ancient Corinthian Christians, Corinthian church was a very much spiritually gifted church. Yet it was called carnal by the founder of that church, the Apostle Paul. At the end of chapter 12, he told us that he would show us a more excellent way, as we just read, than possessing all the spiritual gifts and exercising them without proper guideline. Proper guideline will be explained in chapter 14. So we will start with the verse 1 of chapter 13, please. And we will pray. Father, we've been mistrained by the world, by our own concept, and by others, loving others our own ways. If somebody makes us feel good, we will like them. If somebody doesn't make us feel good, we won't like them. That's not how you tell us to love. That's not how you love us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity for us to learn how to love others and love you properly. Speak to us. As your word said, you are love. Not embracing everything and allowing us to continue in the wrong things. But you correct us because you love us. Father, teach us in your ways. that we may never depart from your way of loving. Anoint our heart to receive your truth. Anoint the one who speaks. And we pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in this country. Father, we are asking your will be done, and they may turn their heart over to you so that they may do exalt your holy name. And we pray for those who risk their lives for our safety, our armed forces personnel and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. You be their backup. You be their protection. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 13, verse 1, please. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbals. And though I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Stop there, please. These three words, I love you. These three words is a simple and single-syllable words, but cannot be improved. Do you know that? You cannot improve these words. Nothing comes close. Because we don't have any guarantee that we will be with each other forever. If guys, husbands, guys, if you told your wife you loved her last time, it was about 2 years ago or 10 years ago, you need to say that more often. I know your husband and wife, they are supposed to read each other's mind, but if that's the case, we will have a knockdown, drag out, fight all the time. Because we don't think nice thing all the time. It is man thing to say to your wife, I love you. And the ladies, don't assume that your husband knows that you love her. Okay? Say, I love you. The opening of the chapter talks about the result of the spiritual gift without love. Let me just recite this. Speaking in tongue, without love, we have a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Just a bunch of noise. Gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and knowledge without love, it's nothing. It's nothing more than information. Faith to move the mountain without love, it's nothing. You just relocate the map, change the map. Charitable heart without love, we just wasted money. Willing to stand up for our belief, without love, we just sacrifice ourselves for nothing. I'm going to state an extremely important and profound fact. I want you to listen carefully. Okay, you with me? Chapter 13 is located between chapter 12 and 14. Right? And you're thinking, oh, you figured it out, Captain Obvious? Yes, I figured it out by myself. Do you know why the Lord put that thing, the chapter 13, love chapter, in the right smack that between the love, spiritual gift? He introduced spiritual gift in chapter 12, and he gave us spiritual gift guideline how to use properly in chapter 14, and he put the chapter 13, love chapter, right there, purposely. He did that so that we may all have the spiritual gift that heaven can offer, but if we don't have a love, then we are doing it without any reason, to boast, to show off, and Bible says we are nothing. In other words, if we're missing having a God's definition of love in our heart, all the spiritual gifts and whatever we do are nothing more than waste time and effort. Apostle John, he echoes this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. So keep your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Turn to right, go to 1 John, please. Past the 2 Peter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God. For God is what? Okay, does it mean God is love, that he will accept all the wrong thing that we do and he wink, wink, and nod, nod, and let us get away with everything that we do? That's not what it says. God is willing to love us, but He will change us because He loves us. Now the Apostle Paul explained the true definition of love in, from the verse 4. But he still revisits love with its attributes that are not temporary at the end of this chapter. Let's go to verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. And is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Stop there again, please. People, especially ladies, love to have these verses in their home, or especially the many brides would like that this portion to be recited in their wedding ceremony. It's a wonderful verse. Of course it's wonderful to have it there. But somehow, just maybe, they're thinking, if we recite this verse, if we have this in the during our wedding ceremony, maybe it's a magic spell. Our marriage will last forever. And everything will go according to my way. Right? Have you heard that story? The bride was thinking, she was so nervous, and she was thinking, I will walk down the aisle and marry him. And she was reciting the same phrase over and over. She is skipping a few words at a time. And then she was, I will alter him eventually. Original phrase was, I walk down the aisle to the altar and marry him. And it ended up, I will alter him. If you're thinking that you will change that person you are going to marry, it ain't going to happen. Newsflash. If you haven't figured it out, you will. It's not a magic spell, folks. Just like the so-called the Lord's Prayer is not a magic prayer that solves any problem. Please notice the definition of love starts with what? Suffer long. You know, some of your versions say love is patient. In other words, to love somebody, you got to be patient. Here are the four Greek words. Some of you guys know this very well. There are four Greek words for love that are not all of them are which used in the New Testament or in the Bible. First one is eros. It means physical love. It does not occur in the entire Bible. It suggests physical sexual desire and not much else. We have a lot of young people here. At your age, that's all you can think about. Right? Don't give me that look. It's like a no, never, this guy, not me. Second one is a storgos. Means family affection and is translated kindly, affectionated. It's a type of love that one might have for a family or spouse. And it's naturally occurring and unforced type of love. Another type of love is a philos. Philos means brotherly love. It is often exhibited in the close friendship. Best friends will display the generous and affectionate love for each other as each seeks to make the others happy. Fourth one, you guys know this, agape. The highest form of love is agape. Also, we know this in our definition, is unconditional love. It's used here. And you may ask, what about the love that you mentioned at the beginning? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe it's a different meaning of love? No. Guess what? Agapao. Same agape. Loving God is the same as this loving neighbor. Surprise, right? Because of none of these words come close to describing the kind of love Paul wants to communicate, he chose relatively rare Greek word, agapao, or known as agape, for his definite passage on love. This word, agape, described a love that is based on the deliberate choice of one of the one who loves rather than worthlessness, worthiness of the one who is loved. Has nothing to do with the person being loved. everything to do with your choice. This kind of love goes against our natural human inclination. It is giving, selfless, expect nothing in return kind of love. Paul's description of love is a short but full of power. Stop there for a minute, please. Ladies and gentlemen, husband and wives, if you are in the marriage, so it is a 50-50. That's why we have a 50-50 ratio of the divorce and marriage. Do not expect that you give half and you expect that the half from come from your husband or wives. Your love should be 100% expect nothing. And you may say, that's a horrible business plan. Did you marry to have a business plan? You give everything, expect nothing, see what happened. The other person will do that. But you, the thing is, you have to do first. You with me? Listen, love is more decision than emotion. Love is a series of the chosen actions with the commitment to obey what God did for us through His Son Jesus Christ on the cross. Before we go through each verse, I want you to do something for me. I want you to replace the love, word love, that mentioned in verse 4 through 7, and with your name, and read out loud. So would you post it up, please? Okay, whenever you see the blank area, I want you to put your name out loud and read it out loud. Can you do that with me? All right, let's read it together. Jake suffers long and is kind. Jake does not envy. Jake does not parade himself. And Jake is not puffed up. Jake does not behave rudely. Jake does not seek its own. Jake is not provoked. Jake thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but Jake rejoices in the truth. And Jake bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You all lied, right? I did. I failed from the beginning. I don't have a whole lot of patience. I'm getting better. What about you? What if we replace love with the name of Jesus? It'll make a difference. Let's do that. Would you put this slide up, please? We will recite this out loud. Jesus suffers long and is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not parade itself. Jesus is not puffed up. Jesus does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Jesus is not provoked. Jesus thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. Jesus rejoices in the truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Does it fit? Perfectly. You know why? Because Jesus is the personification of love. Let's go over these verses more in depth. First, love suffers long and is kind. Our modern day, the throw-away disposable society encourages us to get rid of people in our lives who are difficult to get along, whether they are spouse, friends, family, or acquaintance. Yet this attitude runs in complete contrast to the love described here in the Bible. Listen, true love endures people who are easier to give up on. True love endures the people who are easier to give up on. In other words, your annoying coworker. And you may say, well, I don't have to love him or love her. It's your neighbor. And you're thinking, darn it. Yeah, he's your neighbor or she's your neighbor. You're supposed to love that person. How that annoying unbeliever would see Jesus unless you represent Jesus through you. Am I making sense? Is it difficult? Yes. That's why he started the love is what? Patient, suffers long. What a concept. Okay. Second thing we see is that love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. If our love is directed toward others, we will rejoice in the blessing they receive rather than desiring those blessings for ourselves. I have to repent often when I see other churches growing fast and I asked the Lord, why not our church, Lord? It's like he owes me something. And then Holy Spirit pokes me. I think, okay, I'm sorry. Fundamentally, selfless love that God called us to have does not involve pride or glory. If we truly love others, we will set aside our own plan, agendas, and entitlement for the good of others. Are you with me on that? I should think about the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of JK. Kingdom of JK should be gone down the drain. But kingdom of God will last forever. 1 Corinthians 8:1 has said, remember, knowledge pops up, but the love, what? Builds up. Another word is edifies. Third thing, love is not provoked and think no evil. That is, love is not easily angered or overly sensitive. When we truly love others, we are careful not to be touchy concerning other people's word or action toward us. Guys, ladies, men, do not use this to go against your spouse's jealousy. If your spouse have a jealousy problem, maybe you're giving the reason to do that. If you don't give a reason to do that, that person will not go through jealousy. Am I right? All right, four things. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. God's love describes in this chapter that has nothing to do with the evil, but has everything to do with what is right and true. This does not mean that love is blind or naive. When we love, we may recognize a problem and a failure in the people, but we do not lose faith in the possibility of what people might become. In other words, love does not give up in knowing that God can change lives for the better. God changed all of us, hasn't He? Were you good as now before you became a Christian? I wasn't. I was a rotten sinner. I was an arrogant snob. Hard to get along. And you're thinking, you still are. Okay. I'm a little bit less arrogant snob. Fifth one, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes for all things, endure all things. Love accepts any hardship or rejection and continue to build up and encourage without diminishing. The love described by Paul in this love chapter means determining what is the best for other person than doing it. This is the kind of love that God shows to us. Now, we learned the true definition of love, folks. Compare your idea of love to this one and see how that stacks up. Whatever the definition of the love until you had now. Before you demand unconditional love from others, your spouse, your fiancé, and others, you ought to love them with this love first. See how they react. Remember, our Lord God did that for us while we are still sinners. Amen? To love and to be loved is a bedrock of our existence. The love must also flex and adapt. Rigid love is not true love. It's a veiled manipulation and a conditional time bomb that explodes when frustrated. Genuine love willingly waits. It isn't pushy or demanding. While it has its limit, its boundaries are far-reaching. And you're wondering, what do you mean it has a limit? God's love has a limit. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, right? Have an everlasting life. But there will be a time and God says, okay, you're done. It's coming, folks. If you're not born again Christian, if you've been thinking that, well, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person, I have a terrible news for you. You don't. The only way you can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. No other way. Think hard. Don't come up with an excuse and somehow you can make your way to heaven because you are a good person. God's love has a limit. Love, back to what I was talking, either clutches nor cling. Real love is not short-sighted, selfish, or insensitive. It detects needs and does what is the best for the other person without being told. Go back to verse 8, please. Love never fails. Here's the attribute. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is a knowledge, they will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Note that verse 10, please. Very important. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. First, we see a distinctive comparison between the love and other spiritual gift. Note that the spiritual gift, though they are good, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us love is the better choice than all the other spiritual gifts combined. However, the spiritual gift some people are excited and proud of are temporary, available on earth only until the second coming of Christ, until we get to heaven. And you may say, what about the speaking in tongue? When we go to heaven, we're all going to speak in certain language. And you may say, what kind of language? My native language, Swedish. I'm step ahead before you guys. Yeah? And some of you who never been here is thinking, what do you mean native language? Yeah, I'm from Sweden, southern Sweden. You can tell by the facial feature, right? 1 Corinthians chapter, before we go there, spiritual gift, some people, yeah, I did that. 1 John chapter 3, please. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know, the mirror they had during the ancient time was not polished mirror like we have. The mercury on the other side where we can see the clear picture of ourselves. Sometimes we look at it and say, oh, God help us. And some of you guys love to see what you see. You cannot have enough of what you see. Listen, they had a polished metal mirror, most of the time copper. They see it, but it's a kind of dim, not clear image. That's what we have. We understand the Word of God somewhat, not clearly. We cannot fathom the definition of God's love until we get to heaven, when we see Him face to face. There won't be any Bible teachers. I'm going to lose my job there, because we will have the perfect teacher there. We will know everything there. Are we going to know everything about grace of God? No. But still, we will get to know a whole lot more than what we know here. Paul says, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. What is that which is perfect? Some Bible scholars, especially from the main denominations, such as the Baptist Church, Methodist, and Presbyterian, and Episcopalians, those people will insist that they insist that miraculous gift is seized with the apostles and it referred to the complete and perfection refers to the completion of the New Testament. All due respect, they're contextually they're wrong. Virtually all commentators agree that which is perfect is fulfilled when we are in the eternal presence of the perfect one, Jesus. When we are with the Lord forever, either through the return of Christ or the death to the eternal. The ancient Greek word perfect is a telos, T-E-L-O-S. Considering the way the New Testament uses telos in other passages, it certainly seems to speak about the coming of Jesus Christ. And I list the Bible verses for you to chekma. In other words, they cannot use this passage to justify the doctrine of the strict dispensationalism that argues some spiritual gifts are not available after the first century era. They pick and choose which gift is available and which gifts are not available. Such as teaching, gift is available. Administration, yes. And loving others and all the other things, with the exception of healing, prophecy, speaking in tongue, those things. Why? Because some denominator, some people abuse it so bad, the group of people took the other side, took it to the other side of the spectrum. And they made their own denomination so they don't have to put up with that kind of thing. Am I making sense to you? I mentioned this to you. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, John MacArthur, Chuck Swindoll, whom I dearly respect, they are phenomenal scholars and Bible teachers, theologians. But they are absolutely right, but when it comes to this portion, they bend their backward to fit themselves into their denominational interpretation. They call this perfection as a New Testament, coming of New Testament. And they ignored the definition to tell us that's been used throughout all the other passages. In verse 13, Paul declares that love is greater than all other virtue. Why? Because a faith without love is cold. Hope without love is grim. And love is the fire that kindles faith. And love is the light that turns hope into certainty. Also, the faith and hope, when the faith and hope become visible, faith will be replaced by sight, and hope replaced by the projection of reality. Am I making sense? Only love will remain, because God Himself is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, please. And we have known, believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. This verse, God is love, has been abused. Do you know that? Badly, especially used by the homosexual community. They said, God is love, so he will not send me to hell. But they ignored the portion when Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I command. You cannot pick and choose. Folks, that's the reason why we pick up the Bible. This is the Word of God, the absolute truth and the final authority. It has nothing to do with our own opinions. This is not a buffet table. This is either you take the whole thing or you don't get anything at all. Are you with me? Three applications. Number one, love is more decision than emotion. Love is a series of chosen actions with a commitment to obey what God did for us through His Son, Jesus, on the cross. Second application, true love endures people who are easier to give up on. Third application, love accepts any hardship or rejection and continues to build up and encourage without diminishing. Okay, young people, I want you to pay attention. Yeah, I'm talking to you. A lot of people get married eventually with their high school sweetheart. I asked Pastor Merrill to have your young people to come in. Because this is the place where you are at that age where you find love. Don't let your love reside in the temporary emotional things. Nor should it go to the waist level, below the waist level. Think hard. If you can fall in love with someone, you can fall out of that love. You need to find someone who will love you the way chapter 13 says. And you need to love that person, chapter 13 says. Are you with me, young people? You just woke up? Do you want me to repeat the whole thing again? Let's stand up and pray. Close your eyes, bow your head, please. I mentioned about the born again. I mentioned about going to heaven. And I also mentioned about unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Are you born again? Ask yourself. According to what Jesus said, you will not go to heaven any other way than through Jesus Christ. Jesus is God Himself. If you believe that God is love, and He give you all the opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, so that you may have the eternal hope, so that you may have the eternal life in heaven. When you reject Him, you're pretty much slapping His face and saying, I can make my way to heaven. You will have a rude awakening. Don't push away His invitation now. You may ask yourself, how do I do that? Just say in your heart, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior, my Lord. Be my God. Do it now. If you've done that in your heart, I want you to raise your hand as an outward expression of your commitment. Raise your hand. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us the clear definition of love according to your word.